Good evening and welcome to our online Wednesday night Bible study in Soldotna, Alaska. And today is September the 9th. Tonight we are continuing in the book of Acts in chapter 9. And we are on question 5 with verses 3 through 5. Question 5 is, what did Jesus mean by, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks? And the verses of scripture in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So to answer this question, I looked up the definition of this expression and how Jesus used it here in Scripture. The English word pricks comes from the root Greek word kentron, and I'll spell that for you. K-E-N-T-R-O-N, because I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly because I don't know Greek. But kentron is translated as goads, and goads is G-O-A-D-S. And this word, it's a sharp pointed projection used in stinging. Now the prick or the goad was a pointed stick that was used to urge a stubborn animal to move. And the stick was made of wood or metal. It was also used in battle. And I want to turn to a scripture to show this. In the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. Because this shows us that one of the judges of Israel used an ox goad in battle with great success. Reading Judges chapter 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. The judge, Shamgar, killed 600 of the enemy with an ox goad. So this also shows the damage that a goad can do. Turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verses 20 and 21. And in these scriptures, we see that the Israelites had to go to the Philistines to have their instrument sharpened, one of them being a goad. Reading 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. There was no blacksmith in the land of Israel at this time. And this scripture shows that the goad needed to be sharpened for it to be used successfully. Now Jesus said to Saul, it's hard for you to kick against. And in this expression, the word kick is translated from the root Greek word laktizo. I'll give you that spelling, L-A-K-T-I-Z-O. And it means to hurt by resistance or to kick. So simply put, to kick against the pricks describes someone resisting and in the process of resisting is hitting a sharp object. Now, try to visualize this. A goad was a sharp stick or prod used to drive animals. Sometimes the animal refused to move and would kick back at the pointed object and as a result stab itself on the goad or the pricks. And when you put it all together, we see that Jesus told Saul that he was only hurting himself in his effort to eliminate the Christians. He was unknowingly opposing God, and he was fighting against God. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It was a very familiar expression to the Jews and anyone who made a living in agriculture. An ox goad was a stick with a pointed piece of iron on its tip to prod the oxen when plowing. The farmer would prick the animal to steer it in the right direction. Now here's where we put on our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to see what is God saying in this. Sometimes the animal would rebel by kicking out at the prick, and this would result in the prick being driven even further into its flesh. Now, that's a pretty stubborn animal. I'm repeating this about the goad, or if you want to call it the pricks, because there's a lesson to be learned in this scripture, and I found it fascinating how these words that Jesus said to Saul have such a deeper meaning for God's people when you study into it and peel back the layers. Jesus' words to Saul on that road to Damascus, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks," in essence is saying that Saul's actions were as senseless as an ox kicking against the goad. Saul had passion and sincerity in his fight against Christianity, against God, but he was not heading in the direction God wanted him to go. Jesus was going to goad or direct or steer Saul in the right direction. If you kick against the pricks, you hurt only yourself by persisting in useless resistance or protest. And whenever I think about useless resistance, if you're a Star Trek fan, I always think about when there was a series that came on and they had on this enemy called the Borg. And the Borg seemed to be able to assimilate anybody and everything. And they would always say, resistance is futile, and it was. Just a little thing I threw out there because that resistance word always brings that to my mind. Resistance can only hurt yourself. Because again, what is a goad? It's a stick with a pointed end for driving cattle or oxen. It was used to direct or steer in a direction. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 10. Solomon wrote about this and he called it correction from God. Reading Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. When we choose to forsake God's ways or to disobey God, we become like the rebellious ox, driving the goad deeper and only hurting ourselves. In the same book of Proverbs, a couple chapters back, Proverbs 13 and verse 15. And here is an expression we have heard before. Reading Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. And transgressors here means unfaithful. The way of the unfaithful. faithful is hard. And you've heard this expression from your pastor and in recent teachings. Said in this way, it is easy to serve God hard, but it is hard to serve God easy. The way of the unfaithful is hard because you are trying to serve God easy. It's hard because you are in control instead of God directing you, steering you. It is hard because God is not first in your lives. It is hard because you've let down on daily prayer and daily study of God's word. How much better is it to heed God's voice? Because by resisting God's authority, we are only punishing ourselves. Just as the ox that kicks against the pricks, God goads his people in the right direction. It's the direction that he chooses. God chooses the direction. Going to the New Testament, back to Acts chapter 20 and verses 31 and 32. Paul is using a goad here. He is encouraging, he's urging, he's driving God's people in a direction God wants them to go. Reading Acts chapter 20, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In these two verses of scripture, I see Paul doing three things, talking about three things, when he says, watch, warn, and use the word. So he's guarding God's people, he's goading God's people, and he's guiding. I want to look at this a little bit more using other scriptures. So in Acts chapter 20, with verse 31, when Paul says to watch, watch. And we've heard many teachings about watch, be prepared. God's people in every place need to watch, and they need to be watched over, because that is what God does for his people. To be watching is to be guarding. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. And Paul tells us to watch, and with our watching, we are to continue in prayer. In prayer. Reading Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch. Be on guard. We need to be on guard every day in our lives. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And Paul says to watch and endure affliction, because yes, we have suffering in this life. Reading 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's telling him to watch, be on guard in every part of your life. Watching is a part of guarding. Also in Acts chapter 20, in the verse we read, verse 31, Paul says that he warned them. He warned them. Because God's people need to be warned. And they need to warn others. You just don't keep it to yourself. Paul did this, and it is a part of goading. So turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. And the warnings that Paul wrote were used to goad or urge God's people to continue. Reading Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Paul warns of the goodness and the severity of God. There are two sides to God. It's not just everything is love, peace, and joy. There is the warnings that Paul is giving the churches, and warnings prick us like a goad pricks a beast of burden to urge us onward, mixing fear with faith. Now, that's something people don't a lot of times want to hear, that there is fear with faith. But we know that the fear of God that gives you obedience to God's word is very important. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 28 and 29. Paul warns here that our God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. Reading Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We are to serve God with reverence and godly fear. Paul once again is goading, giving God's people direction in the way God wants them to go. In referencing back to Acts chapter 20 that we read in verse 32, Paul says that the word will build you up. The word, this word will build you up. God's people need to teach, and they need to be taught the word of God. This is all part of guiding, the guiding that God does in our lives. Turn back a couple chapters to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul continually taught God's people to guide themselves and to guide others. Don't just keep it for yourself. Reading Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul guided God's people to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And he prayed for this daily. He prayed that they would have wisdom and spiritual understanding. Our church has wisdom and spiritual understanding because God has blessed this body of believers with teachers that can impart the word. And as a teacher of God, I pray the same thing that Paul prayed for the churches, that you gain more wisdom and spiritual understanding. He says here that he prayed for God's people to be filled with God's will, to have and know and understand God's will. But how are you filled with the knowledge of God's will? It doesn't come just from hearing the word of God. And you know what I'm going to say before I say it, because we teach this often. And it's taught often in the word of God. It comes from studying the word of God. That's how you learn what God's will is. Studying the word of God for yourself. Paul guided the churches to do this, and God's teachers continue to guide with the same guidance today. It hasn't changed. The word of God has not changed. Not one dot, not one comma, not a word. God uses his spoken and written word to goad or guide his people towards the direction he wants them to take. God equips and prepares us to be useful for his purpose while here on earth. And we all have a purpose. The expression to kick against the goads was used to redirect them if they were veering off the path, and to quicken their pace in the event they were going too slow or weren't putting forth enough effort. Now, here's where you peel back the layers and look at this. Remember, the farmer's goad had a twofold purpose: redirect, get them back on that path, and quicken the pace. You're too slow. Come on, let's put some more effort into this and let's get going. We have a race that needs to be run. Just as Jesus goaded Saul, he also goads us. We're his people. Jesus will challenge you. He will encourage you. He will influence you. He will motivate you. He will push you when you need to be pushed. He will stir you, and he will urge you. These are seven synonyms that you can use for the word goad: challenge, encourage, influence, motivate, push, stir, urge. They all mean to goad. I want to turn back to the Old Testament, all the way to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verses 11 through 14. Solomon wrote words of wisdom, and he speaks about goading. Reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting at verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, guided, motivated, stirred, encouraged, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the conclusion of it all. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. God sees it all. You can't hide anything from God. You can hide it from one another, but you're never going to hide it from God. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The words of the wise are as goads. The words of God's teachers should goad you in some way or another. Encourage, motivate, influence, stir, push, urge, challenge you. That's what God's word does. The word of God goads you. And sometimes you might feel as if the word of God is pushing you or challenging you, but that's a good thing. Because you need to ask yourself these questions. Are you stepping off of God's path for you? Are you going too slow? Or are you not putting forth enough effort? If that is what is happening in your life, then you will feel the effects of being goaded if you are a child of God. Because God will challenge you, encourage, influence, motivate, push, stir, and urge you. And he'll do all of these for your good. Always for your good. God will do whatever it takes to get you back on the path he wants you to take because he loves you. It's that simple. Because he loves you. Your part is to listen and not kick against the goads of God. Which, once again, what that all means is if you serve God hard, it's easy. If you serve God easy, it's hard. Reading, once again, verse 13 in Proverbs, or in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where we're at. And this will be my last scripture for tonight. Verse 13, I love the way Solomon wrote this with the wisdom of God that God gave him. Because it wraps it all up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything I've said tonight, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. So simple. Fear God. Reverence your God. And keep his commandments. Is that hard to do? If you're serving God hard, no, it's easy. It's very easy. But if you're serving God easy, then it will be hard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of mankind, every human being. This is our duty to fear God and keep his commandments. He doesn't make it complicated. It's laid out in his word for all mankind to understand. And then it's up to you to fear God, keep his commandments. Amen. I'm going to close with that and have our musicians come up and our singers tonight and ask you all to continue praying for our pastor. And for many of the saints that are dealing with health issues, keep them in your prayers. Praise God.